Welcome to the Lifeway Student Ministry Podcast. This is the first episode, so we're glad to have you tuning in. My name is Ben Trueblood. I'm one of the hosts and the director of Lifeway Student Ministry. I've been in my 15th year of student ministry now, married, four kids, and love student ministry, love to serve youth pastors, and hopefully you'll find this podcast as a service to you, youth workers, and student pastors. And with the content that we provide, we are going to be laser focused on student pastors and youth workers. And so that's what you can expect from the Lifeway Student Ministry Podcast. I am one of the hosts that I mentioned. Our other host is Chris Swain.
That's right. I'm Chris Swain, manager of student ministry publishing at Lifeway, and I've been working with students since 1991, serving in various churches, have enjoyed my time there, have a wife, two children, and love living here in Nashville and serving students still through working with Lifeway.
Some of you might be asking, what in the world is Lifeway Student Ministry? That's a great question, so we'll cover it here really quickly, and then we'll dive in. So Lifeway Student Ministry has some publishing with Bible studies and books and resources for student ministries. Also connected to Lifeway Student Ministry are some event ministries like Fuge Camps, Student Life Camps, World Changers, and P2 Missions, as well as Access International, that is an international missions ministry. And so those, all of those things kind of make up who we are as Lifeway students, and our goal and purpose is to serve youth pastors and youth workers in your mission of making disciples. That's what we're about. That's what the podcast is about. And so with that out of the way, let's dive right in to our first topic. Chris, in your time in student ministry, how many times do you think, was it a common question for you to stop in a moment and say, man, is my student ministry healthy?
Yeah, I think for a long time, I measured my student ministry in a success win or loss, failure type of model. And it took me a while to begin to look at ministry in terms of health. A healthy ministry is obviously going to be a growing ministry. You probably heard that before. But for too long, I probably looked at ministry in terms of growth and measures and goals, and all that stuff is great. But when I began to look at the elements of health in my ministry, that's when I really began to see God just do great things in the lives of students and the lives of parents and families and all the areas that I was able to minister in.
That's great. And I think healthy ministry is the right way to look at it, because if we really have a healthy ministry, and we're going to dive into some what we would call essentials or elements of a healthy student ministry here in just a minute. But when these things are present, when the student ministry really is healthy, then those other things are going to come alongside of that. The growth and the students' lives being changed and families being plugged into the ministry, those things are going to kind of naturally happen. And so when we talk about healthy ministry, here are the three things that we would say, regardless of ministry context, whether you serve in an urban or rural or suburban environment, regardless of context, when your student ministry is healthy, it's going to have these three elements, and they are: it's going to be a kingdom expanding ministry, it's going to be a character transforming ministry, and it's going to be a culture shaping ministry. And we'll go back and talk about each one of those. So a kingdom expanding ministry in a nutshell is that it's going to be evangelistic, that your ministry is going to be giving the gospel in a clear way and giving students an opportunity to respond to that gospel message. It's going to be a ministry that sees the Great Commission as not just a suggestion or something that's good when we can do it, but something that really defines who we are, is we want to expand God's kingdom in our student ministry. What are some ways, Chris, that you've seen that kind of play out, some really tangible, like how can a listener's student ministry be kingdom expanding?
Sure. One of the things that I want to mention too, and that mistakes that I've made in student ministry that maybe can help somebody out there, is ultimately I began my ministry thinking, how do I grow my student ministry?
Right.
How do I step in and do some things at my church? And anytime I had that mindset, I never really experienced the growth that I really wanted to see. And ultimately, you know, what we want to see is the kingdom of God expanding. We want to see not just our church, not just our group of students, but all churches. churches that are spreading the gospel. We want to see them winning. And so it's partnering with those other churches, partnering with your community to reach all the students in your community. And so that is a mindset change and a shift that has to take place in the mind of student pastor. I would say some practical ways that we saw this happen when we began to shift maybe from our own ministry and growing our own thing and the whole my church mentality versus a kingdom focus. You know, one really, really simple way is to ask your students and encourage your students to pray for other students, to pray for other churches, to pray for other Christians in their school, in their community, in their neighborhood where they live, to look outside of just the maybe their own little clique or maybe your own ministry and church and Sunday school class or small group, and to look beyond that at others who are living for the Lord, looking to take the gospel out and be ministry-minded. So I would encourage you to give your students that mindset, help them have that mindset to be praying for, partnering with, and thinking about other churches, other ministries beyond just the one that they're involved in, obviously. And then some other practical ways, again, these are very simple ways, but one is to help students identify students who don't know Christ. Sometimes we can say, share Christ or share your faith or take the gospel. And oftentimes students may not know what that looks like. They don't have a tangible understanding of what that can be. And they need that very elementary, basic first step, which is think of the people around you in your home, in your family, in your school, in your neighborhood, who don't know Jesus or who you're not sure whether or not they have a relationship with Christ. And then to begin to kind of just write those names down as a focus of prayer and look for opportunities, to seek opportunities to share the gospel with them. And just that very basic concept to help students understand and begin to personalize that idea is the best way I've found to help them begin to think of expanding the kingdom of God beyond just kind of where they're at and to take the gospel in their community and to their school.
Yeah, you mentioned something there that I think is a really key point. And that's that a lot of times we as student pastors, and if we've been around student ministry for a long time, it's easy to slide into this mode of, hey, students, make sure you're sharing the gospel. And we can pray by name and we can do those things, because the reality is, and you're exactly right, a kingdom expanding ministry is a praying ministry. Right. You cannot separate those two things. But it's really easy for us as student ministry leaders to say, hey, go share the gospel, talk about Jesus with your friends. But an element there that is often missed is the basic training that students need to be able to share their faith. Like, yep. Let's not stop with, hey, this is a good thing, we need to do this, but let's take the time to actually train them and show them and give them a way to share their faith, to enter into that conversation, because it's awkward, right? For a lot of them, it's going to be a really awkward situation at the beginning. So whatever we can do in training-wise to help them have that first conversation is really important.
Yeah, they often have in their mind this idea that they're just supposed to walk up to a random stranger and begin to talk about things and share the gospel. You know what? In some settings, that may be the approach.
Sure.
But we want to help them understand that this is a lifestyle. It's not, you know, Jesus emulated this. He walked around. He made relationships. And then there are times when he just told folks the truth and shared grace. And ultimately, we need to help students understand that there's more to it than just seeing those people attend an event, and there's more to it than just kind of making a statement to someone and walking away. It's their life. It should be their lifestyle. It should be built into how they live out their faith, taking the gospel and being missional in the way they live.
Absolutely. What is the temptation? I think you kind of mentioned this along the way. How big do you think the temptation is to view this component of a healthy student ministry as the bigger my ministry is, that equals that I'm kingdom expand? How big is the temptation to kind of look inwardly and say, man, I just really want to grow my ministry. I want my ministry to be big and all of those things, which I don't think at the very beginning, that's a bad thing to want. I don't think it's a bad thing to want the ministry to grow and to want to reach a lot of students and those things. But again, back to the question, how big of a temptation do you think that is for student pastors to kind of get focused on the my piece of that?
Sure. I think the pendulum can swing both ways. And one side of it, you see student ministries that kind of base their success and ultimately maybe even their worth in the biggest extreme on how big their ministry is and how many students they might be reaching. And then on the other end, which is equally wrong, you have student pastors who kind of step away from the idea of being evangelistic or expanding the kingdom or having a gospel-centered mindset of reaching those in their community because they're so averse to the idea that a number should represent any amount of success or level of growth. And so both of those can be wrong. And the goal, obviously, the idea is how do you balance that? Because we live in a culture where when are often celebrated based on a number or the higher the number, the better, and that's bigger right. is better, and things like that. And it's easy for us to take our eyes off the fact that, you know, God can change an individual, and that one individual crossing over the line of salvation is just it's something worth celebrating every single time. And it can be a challenge when you see a large number of students making decisions and you see a ministry grow in number to look at that and say, wow, this is so much more effective and better than X ministry. And the reality is, yes, we always want to celebrate what God is doing for sure. And we want to celebrate when God works in a big way, but we also want to celebrate each and every one of those decisions. And we've got to be careful not to measure the health of our ministry by the growth of our ministry, knowing that growth comes out of health and not vice versa, because you can have a very unhealthy ministry that's packed full of people
yeah.
who may or may not be, you know, living out what they're called to live out and really being gospel-centered. So it's just a balance. It's not necessarily wrong to enjoy the success of and look at that as a success. It's just one piece in the puzzle, though, and that's where I think we have to be careful.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would say that the reverse of that would be the same. There are churches that have a small youth ministry that, man, everybody knows each other, and from the outside, it looks like this really great family environment. But when you get into it, it's just completely unhealthy, and the student, all it is is a living room meeting of people, and no one's living out what God has called them to live. So size isn't an indicator of health, but if your ministry is healthy, you will be involved in kingdom expanding work. You'll be training students to share their faith. You'll be helping them identify, as Chris mentioned, you'll be leading them to pray for their students. A kingdom expanding ministry is a praying ministry. And then another component of that is that a kingdom expanding ministry has to start in the heart of the leader, right? So if it's not in the leader's heart to share their faith, to engage in gospel sharing ministry, to build relationships for the specific purpose of sharing their faith, to be willing in those times when we're called to, and in those times when you have the opportunity to walk across the street and share with a complete stranger you have no relationship with, it has to be in the heart of the leader for it to really be in the hearts of the students.
Absolutely. And I think one thing that can happen is as a student leader, we can get to that position where we have what we would consider less impact on those who don't know Christ. And so we challenge students to go into their school, their community, their neighborhood, and to reach their families. And we can kind of sometimes hide behind our role as a student leader and look around and say, well, you know, all my friends are believers, or my community, you know, I don't have as many relationships with those who aren't following Christ. And so it can be a challenge for us sometimes to live out what it is we're asking students to do. And as you well know, working with students, it just doesn't fly. We've got to live out what we say. We can't have that double standard of this applies to you and not me. All believers should be chasing after what God's called us to do to reach our community. And the students are only going to rise to that level, that bar that you set. And so it's important, it's crucial that we are living out what we're calling them to do and really being setting the standard in that area.
Yeah, absolutely. So another element there of being a kingdom expanding ministry. So again, we have a kingdom expanding ministry, train students to do that. It's in the heart of the leader. A kingdom expanding ministry is a praying ministry, but it's also a ministry that moves students towards the nations. So our students have to understand that the gospel is to go to the ends of the earth. Like, that's the command for us, not just in our neighborhood bubble, though we must do that. Not just in our country, though we must do that, but that we have to be involved in some way, at some level, in taking the gospel to the nations. So there are going to be people listening to this who have a variety of different resources available to them to expose their students to an international experience. But the great news is that you don't have to go overseas to be a part of helping the gospel to reach the nations. There are plenty of places in our own country that refugees and the nations are coming to our country. And so there are plenty of places. Atlanta, northeast Atlanta is one that comes to mind. Oklahoma City, right here in Nashville, is one where the nations are coming to. And with some creativity, some intentionality, we can help our students have an international experience here in our own country. What are some other ways, Chris, that you've seen done to help students kind of get a heart for what God wants to do across the globe?
Sure. I think one of the key ways that we can do that, obviously we've talked about prayer, but focusing that prayer on those groups, but looking at your own community, looking around those that are in your community that might not be from your community. In other words, they've kind of been transplanted there, either moving from another part of the nation or, like you just mentioned, moving from another part of the world. Most places now around have people that have moved in, have come in, have come to live in your community who probably were not originally there. And so it's looking at those areas near you or even in your city that you maybe could take a quick trip to, or you could grab some students and say, hey, we're going to go, we're going to visit, we're going to do some work here with these folks and maybe build a bigger mindset, a bigger heart for those that need to be reached all around the world. But I think praying is a key part of it, but also going to and seeing what can be done locally and then looking at that and saying, how can this impact in an even greater way the rest of the world as we think about being missional beyond just our school, just our church, and just our community?
So a kingdom expanding ministry is a praying ministry. It's a ministry that trains its students to share their faith. It's a ministry that has gospel sharing and kingdom expansion in the heart of the leader. If it's not in the heart of the leader, it's never going to be in the hearts of the students. And it's a ministry that helps students develop a heart for the nations, to see past where they are right now. And so that's the first element of a healthy student ministry. And we're going to talk about the second element next week. So join us next time as we talk about character transformation and how character transforming is a part of every healthy student ministry. Thanks for joining us on the Lifeway Student Ministry Podcast. We'll hope to see you next time. You can find the podcast on both iTunes and at lifeway.com/student ministry. We'll have a new episode for you every Thursday. So we look forward to hearing from you again, and you can find us on Twitter at Student Ministry. So we would love to hear feedback as well as topics that you would like for us to cover in the Student Ministry Podcast. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next time.